Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Here we are with episode 191 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. Sean Penrod, your host here. So happy you're joining me today. We have a great guest lined up for you. Each and every week, we put out two interviews with the best Magic players in the world. I reach out to the top 8 of Grand Prix, as well as the top 16 of Pro Tours, and competitors in the World Magic Cup and the World Championship, and other community icons, so we can get a well-rounded view of how these amazing players view Magic, how they approach it. We get to dive into their struggles that they had when they first started, how they overcame them, so that we can say, hey, I struggle with that too, I can overcome that, I can do it. Some of our guests are right in front of us. They just made their first top 8 and they're off to the Pro Tour. Other guests are Pro Tour regulars, and they really know the ins and outs of the upper echelons of Magic competition. But whether one step ahead of us or 10, these guests are amazing. They have a love of the game, a deep understanding of how to play, and they really open up and share their secrets, their tips, their processes with us. So that's what the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast offers. If you've been with the show for a while, you already know that. And if you're new to the show, welcome. Now you know what you're in for. My goal with the MTG Pro Tutor brand is to help 1,000 players qualify for the Pro Tour, and the podcast is just one way that we go about doing that, learning from the greats. Before we dive into the episode, I do want to say that today's show is brought to you by the patrons and the Deck Building Masterclass. Patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show directly. It means the world to me. It really does. I know I say that, but it's because it's true. I know it's not a lot on your end, $1, $2, $5 an episode, but on my end, it really adds up, and it helps grease the wheels and keeps the show going. I love doing it for you, and I'm so grateful for your support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you are interested in becoming a patron, you go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, where you can check that out. Basically, you can pledge any amount you want per episode and then set a monthly limit so you never go out of budget. And the donation is processed monthly. And as a thank you, I always do a giveaway to where I send some cool Magic product to a patron each and every month. The other sponsor of the show is the Deck Building Masterclass, which is a video series that I put together with AJ Soccer, Michael Majors, and Matt Severa. These amazing Magic players, I mean, if you watch the videos, you will see they just really know Magic inside and out. They really dive deep into their process of building a deck. They walk through how to evaluate a meta, how to track the changes in a deck week in and week out, how to determine the trends, what direction those decks are going, and then how to exploit those trends, how to find weaknesses and build the best deck possible. It's an amazing, amazing class. I put together a free PDF that goes through everything that we talked about in the videos, and you can get that at deckbuildingmasterclass.com. Again, the PDF is completely free, and it walks through the entire process. And then if you want to dive even deeper into it, then there's a 4-hour video series that comes with it. So you can check that out. Bundled with the 4-hour videos is my Limited Toolbox, which is a mini course I put together to address how to get better at Limited. We talk about past guests Wally Wallerstein and Eduardo Sajigalic, dive into how to choose your color in Limited, how to build a limited deck, and how to pay better attention, especially in draft. So this Limited Toolbox I threw in there because we have the Amonkhet pre-release coming up, right? So everybody who picks up the Deck Building Masterclass video series between now and the pre-release of Amonkhet will get the Limited Toolbox thrown in there for free. So keep that in mind as you go and check it out. And of course, if you just want the free PDF, then deckbuildingmasterclass.com is where you can go to get that. Well, let's not wait any longer. Let's bring in our guest, sit down, and talk about Magic. What is up, everybody? I am super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest is a 20-year-old Magic player from Tasmania, Australia, who has been playing Magic for 8 years. He is a Magic player who is constantly trying to learn and improve his game and who recently obtained his first Grand Prix Top 8 at Grand Prix Brisbane. Coming to us from Tasmania, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, James Larson Scott. James, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, thanks.
Excellent. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Absolutely.
Nice. Now, prodigies out there, James is not on Twitter, so you can't connect with him there, but we are going to get him into the Prodigy Facebook group. So if you haven't yet, you can go to mtgpro2.com/Facebook group. You can request to join. We'll get you in there, and then James will be there as well, and you can ask him a question, say thanks for being on the show, but that's the best way to connect with him if you want to. So, James, you're out there in Australia doing what you do. Tell us, are you born and raised in Tasmania?
I was born in Sydney, but I moved to Tassie when I was like 1, so basically Tasmanian.
Awesome, awesome. And do you have siblings that you play Magic with?
No.
No, just you, huh? All right, cool, cool. Is the local scene pretty strong there in Tasmania?
Yeah, it's reasonable. It's a little small.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're making do. You're making do. And, you know, top 80 Grand Prix. That's awesome. And let's see, 20 years old. So are you in university right now? Or do you have a job? Or is Magic your full-time thing?
Yeah, I'm in university, second year.
Awesome. What are you studying?
Basically, I'm majoring in maths.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, good. Well, Magic has a fair amount of numbers and stuff. So that's really good that you're getting that down.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we love hearing the origin stories of our guests. So tell us a story. Take us there. The very first time you ever saw or played with Magic cards.
To me, it started with a different card game. So when I was like 10, I started playing a Pokemon trading card game. And basically, I played that for a couple of years. I was like the local state champion in my division for like 2 years. And then I was just like looking online and saw, hey, there's this sweet game called Magic. And I gave it a spin, and really, I never looked back from there. Went to like my first pre-release was like Alara Reborn, and from there, I was hooked.
That's awesome. So Alara Reborn was your first set?
Yeah.
Nice. And you just found Magic on your own online. Well, well done, marketing department of Wizards, because you got a great player in the game. That's awesome. That's great. So what's your favorite set?
I don't really have a clear favorite set. There's like a few sets that sort of stood out to me for like a few different reasons. Like when I started, Zendikar was a very important set for me, particularly for like learning Limited and stuff like that. And I guess in more recent terms, Khans of Tarkir was just like a fantastic overall set, like a great Limited format. It just introduced many powerful and interesting Magic cards. And really, to me, those are probably two of the more influential sets.
Nice. Excellent. Along the same lines, what's one of your favorite cards?
It probably has to be Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Nice. All right. So for those of us who don't know, what is that card? What does it do? And why do you like it?
So it costs two and two blue for a planeswalker with three loyalty, and basically whatever you do with it, you're just destroying your opponent. So it has like a +2 ability where you get to basically either scry or like fate seal your opponent. Zero, you get to cast brainstorm. So you get to draw three cards, put two cards back. -1, you get to bounce a creature, and -12, you basically exile their library and they shuffle their hand back into the library. So
yeah, so brutal.
This does everything.
Nice. Did you have good results with him? Did you play, I don't know, like the Coreblade deck or whatever it was back in the day? Or
yeah, I definitely did play some Coreblade back in the day with that guy. He was the real deal.
Yeah, sweet. Do you use him now? Isn't he legal in some Eternal format?
I play a little bit of Miracles with him in Legacy on Magic Online, yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. That's neat. And we love hearing, you know, a little bit about your favorites and where you've come from and your intro to Magic. That's awesome. And so when you started getting serious about Magic, when you started kind of pursuing it, what was an aspect that you struggled with but that you eventually overcame?
I guess one thing that just sort of comes to my mind is that like in Limited early on, it was sort of like learning the difference between different Limited formats. So, like, coming out of Zendikar into other formats, I, like, started, like, overrating, like, stuff like Goblin Pikers and, like, from, like, watching, like, videos of people doing, like, old set drafts, like, in particular, like, Grey Ogres I liked for far too long.
So, how did you overcome that? So, learning the difference between Limited formats and knowing that some are fast, some are slow, they all have a different feel, how did you go about overcoming that?
To me, it was, like, I guess, a lot of, like, watching videos and just, like, playing the formats and, like, just realizing this card just isn't all that good or whatever. It's just experience.
Yeah, because I can see falling into that trap, you know, like, oh, these stats were good in the last set and just kind of not really realizing that it doesn't line up in the new set very well. So
exactly, yeah.
Interesting. So doing the stats and talking to people and kind of keeping up, or just experience keeping up with it. That's neat. When would you say was your breakthrough as a Magic player?
I guess it was sort of like different levels. So like, early on, early when I was like just like reasonably new to Magic, like I'd often do drafts, I'd often like 2-1 drafts, but like I'd rarely ever like 3-0 a draft. So it was like a really big deal to me when I like got my like first draft 3-0. And I guess like but I think the sort of bigger thing for me was that like early on I traveled to like so many GPs and stuff, but like the thing I really wanted was that like first GP day too, which finally came around. I think it was in Melbourne, and I was playing the white blue control deck, the one of Sphinx's Revelation, back in Ferris Return to Ravnica Limited. And it's like, so I had my buys, but then I lost my first two rounds. So it's like not looking good. But then I managed to win the remainder of my rounds in order of like day two, which was, you know, it was sort of like learning that like, well, it's like despite a bad start, you can just like, that's not giving up and riding it out and still getting there.
That's awesome. So you had some buys going into that event?
Yeah, from like local GP trials.
Okay, I was going to ask how those came about. You got your GP trials. That's a good way to go about it because buys on a Grand Prix, you know, they help. They definitely help. And so that's neat that you're able to, you know, lead up into that and practice, and then you were able to go and do well at the event. So because I was going to ask, kind of walking through it, because, you know, a lot of the prodigies out there go to Grand Prix and some haven't made day two and some do, but not consistently. So what did it take to make day two for the first time? Like, did you do anything different? Did those buys, were they everything in the world and that's what you should go for? Like, what are some tips you have for people who are trying to make day two?
I guess for a lot of the previous GPs, which I didn't day two, I had buys in those as well. So, I mean, it wasn't just the buys, which I do think is important, but to me, it was just like, it was one of the first constructed GPs I've played at. So it was like I was playing a deck I was familiar with. I'd like learned the ins and outs of it, knew how to play my deck and that sort of thing, and just came in, focused on my games, and did that.
Excellent, excellent. Who have been your magic mentors along the way?
So, I don't know. I just don't really think in that sort of way. I don't really think this specific person is like some sort of inspiration to me because, you know, at the end of the day, they're just another person who's like good at magic and that sort of thing. It's sort of like, I don't know, it's just like, I mean, I've obviously like watched a lot of like LSV videos and enjoy that sort of thing, but I can't really specifically say anyone in particular.
Has there been a piece of advice or a tip, something that you read or heard from someone that has really stuck with you as you've grown as a magic player?
I guess one bit of advice that I, or like sort of piece of information that like I heard really recently that's really sort of rung to me is that it's like playing magic, it's not just the games, it's like the preparation, for example, constructed or whatever, like the decks you play, the cards you pick, like sideboarding, mulliganing, all the in-game things, all those things are just as important as each other. So it's not just like playing well in the games, it's so important to be like prepared and show up with the exact right deck for the tournament.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. I was like pointing out that I love that the game of Magic starts long before we sit down. It's across the table from each other. Like you were saying, it starts with the deck building and the tweaking and the playtesting. And by the time we actually sit down across the table from each other at a tournament, you know, there's been all this preparation and hours of work that have gone into it, but on both sides, on my side and your side. And this is just the culmination of it. This is just the, all right, now let's battle, you know, and see who can navigate and read and all that good stuff better. And I think that's really, really neat that there's all those layers and intricacies. That's awesome. You know, we'll dive into a couple of those in just a minute here. We would love to hear your worst magic moment. And the reason why is because we all know that the journey through magic has ups and downs for everybody, but those are unique to each player. And we'd like to learn from your low, and then we'll swing it around and come to your high. So what was the worst magic moment that you experienced, and what did you learn?
I mean, all over the ages, I mean, there are plenty of misplays and that sort of thing that happened. But just like, I think just one thing that just at the moment that just sort of shines through to me is just, it's actually in the like last year or so, I went to a PPTQ with like a deck I didn't know that well. And it was like I lost 3 winning ins for like the top 4 in a row. And it was sort of on the back of, I just didn't know my deck. I didn't know how to play, when to be aggressive, when to be controlling. And it's just going to a tournament with like a deck I've never played before. And like, just found like a list online, and I chose a poor list, poor sideboard. It was just all the like pre-game preparation just wasn't there, and it really showed.
Yeah. Those near misses, I think, you know, really stand out to people. So 3 win-ins in a row, I can definitely see how that would, you know, stand out. So now's a good time. Let's go through that process. How do you select a deck? So now, you know, ideally, what do you go through to, you know, what are some of the research that you do to pick the right deck and to make sure you show up prepared with a good deck and a good sideboard?
It's a lot of playtesting on Magic Online. Because like living in Tasmania, it's very hard to get the sort of practice out of real life magic. I need to rely on Magic Online for that. And so it's like I need to find a starting point, a starting deck. So it's like looking through the lists of like decks that have recently done well, and like it's just like trying things. Like often, like ideally, you could try every deck and sort of learn them and learn them by just playing tons and tons of games with them, seeing what sideboard cards you like, what you don't like, like how the matchups play and all those sorts of things. But often I don't have time for that sort of thing, so I have to sort of know which sort of decks do I generally sort of play, which ones do I know that sort of thing the best, because then I'll need to put in less effort into like learning how to play them in the first place. So it's just sort of like, to me, it's like pick a couple of decks that could be potential options, try them, see what I like, see what I don't like, and come to the best sort of place I can before the event.
Excellent. Yeah. So reviewing what decks have been doing well, picking a couple of them and then start playing with them just to kind of see if they work well with you, if you can pilot them pretty good or not. And then from there, practicing, playing a lot, and then doing the tweaking, you know, what does this deck need? You know, what can I change? And kind of, yeah, just doing the whole deck tweaking thing along the way so you can show up ready for your event.
Exactly.
Awesome. That's a really good process. Now, obviously, on the flip side, from our lows are our highs. So what has been your proudest Magic moment to date?
Getting my first GP top 8 was pretty good to me. Yeah. But I guess really what, to me, I think probably back in the past, so that first GP day 2 was just, it meant so much to me back in the day.
What did that feel like when you made that first GP day 2?
It was just fantastic. It was like you're playing that winning in on the last round. It was like intense and whatever. And then you get there and it's just fantastic.
Awesome. Oh, I am almost there. I have missed day 2 by one match, you know. So I was at that table, the last round of day 1. It's like, if I win this, I make it. And I don't know if the other person was in the same situation. Probably. And, I fell short. So I'm almost there. I'm almost there. but that is really cool. So on the most recently for your top 8, I mean, what did that feel like when you made top 8 or when you realized that you made top 8 and knew that you qualified for the Pro Tour? Like, what was that like?
So, it actually wasn't the first time I qualified for the Pro Tour.
Oh, really?
So, back when I was like, I think 13 or 14, we had local PTQs. But the big difference here was back in these days, because we were a small place, we didn't get travel awards. We only got like $375 US or something. So it was like limited. And I, like back in the day, I managed to win that, which I didn't get to go to the Pro Tour, unfortunately. But back in like those days, that the money was obviously quite relevant to me.
Wow. You were like 14, you qualified for the Pro Tour?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's really cool.
But yeah, I didn't get to go. But it was like, so it was like in the last year or so. So I started wanting to get qualified for the Pro Tour again. But so like I played like a Magic Online PTQ where I lost the finals. And then I went X3 at the Grand Prix in Sydney. So it was like twice I'd been effectively one match away from the Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, like it's sort of thing you're working towards, and then there's like this GP, and it's like going to the last round. I see like the way tiebreakers work out. It's like if I win my match and this other person also wins their match, I probably sneak into the top 8 in 8th place. So it's like, so I win my match, and then I sweat like the entirety of the rest of the round. Waiting to see whether I made top 8 or whatever. So when like the announcement came and I made it, it felt really, really good.
Oh man, that's awesome. That is really, that's really neat. Was there anything different about that day? So we talked a little bit about what it takes to make it to day 2. What in your experience does it take to go from a day 2 Grand Prix player to making it to the top 8? Was there something different that you did that day, or, you know, tell us that experience. Like, how did you go from being a day 2 player to a top 8?
To me, it was really the good day 1.
Okay.
It was like having, because in like previous times, I think every time I've day 2'd, I've cashed the GP. But the problem was like in previous times, I've gone like X2 on day 1. And like this going to this GP, I went 8-1 on the first day. So it was sort of like, it's both days are very important. It's like, it's not just doing well in like the second day, it's doing well on the first day as well. I think it's just the same, just being really well prepared and really. I think that's most of what there is to it, I think.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, you know, to understand that it's the whole picture. So setting yourself up for success, you know, starts in day one. So going into day two with a 8-1, for example, or hey, if you can even do it 9-0, that'd be even better, right? But that sets you up because from what I hear, day two, there's a lot, the caliber of players much higher. We've whittled away all the new players, the ones that aren't comfortable in that environment, or the ones that kind of had the unproven type decks or whatever. And so each game is good magic where it's just high level player, high level deck. And so to come into that experience, to come into that realm with an 8-1 record, it gives you a better buffer and better chance to make it to the top 8.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. That's a really good point. Good observation. So we talked about how you prepare, or, you know, how you choose your deck, and leading up to event, you said that you play a lot of, you know, Magic Online. And that's your primary form of preparation.
Yep. Exactly. Yes.
And what other things do you do to, you know, prepare for a tournament? Like, what do you take with you? What are you thinking about? Do you have any, I guess, tournament day tips? So on the day of, how do you manage being at, you know, a tournament for the whole day, you know, playing Magic?
Well, first thing, yeah, making sure I have, like, water, obviously all the supplies, and, like, just small things like bringing, like, tokens and pen, paper, all that sort of thing, just, like, being prepared in that sense. But I think one of the most important things is just having people you know at the event that you can, like, talk to between rounds. Because if it's just you by yourself in a, when you've got, like, with, like, rounds going overtime and, like, GPs, like, if you've got like half an hour just to sit by yourself waiting for the next round, it's just going to be really hard. It's just important to have people around.
You know, I totally agree. And it's really interesting. We just had someone else mention the same thing. It was really interesting. We had one guest who said that they went to a Grand Prix like by themselves one time and just really described that lonely feeling of sitting around just being like, well, like, what the heck am I supposed to do, you know? And then contrasting that with when they did have friends with them. And then now here you are saying the same thing, you know, go with friends, go with people who you can talk to in between rounds, because yeah, it's good to have that break to discuss, to, you know, just kind of clear your head and not sit there, you know, being in a room full of people, but feeling lonely, like that's the worst. So yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's really, really good advice. I like that. Now, as you have played, you know, Magic and just seen a lot of different lines of play and just experienced, you know, lots of different people and the game, what has been the biggest mistake that you see players make? And then how can we avoid that mistake?
I think one of them, I mean, I guess this comes in, I guess I keep saying about preparation, but it's like people playing decks where they just don't know why they're playing a card in their deck. Like, I think if you're playing a deck at like a proper tournament, you should know, of all the 75 cards in your list, you should know why it's there. You should be able to justify to someone why you chose to put that in your deck. And I think it's the same in Limited. When people build their decks, they sometimes just automatically put a card in their deck that maybe they should have thought about, or, you know, that sort of thing.
That's a good point. You should know all the 75 cards in your deck and why they are there. I really like that, because yeah, it's really easy, you know, to go and like copy a list, like you said. But if you just do that and you don't understand what's there and what's in the sideboard and why, then you're just hoping to, you know, line things up correctly without actually thinking about it. And so you have to put some thought into it. Even if you do, you know, take a net deck and then, you know, tweak it, and that's fine. But you need to know what's in there and why so that you can be better prepared. I really like that. And I love the theme. I love the theme of preparing, you know, and doing the work ahead of time and the difference it makes in your tournament. I think that's a great theme for this episode. And I love that it keeps popping up. That's awesome. So what are aspects of Magic that you have been able to apply to other areas of your life?
So there's a lot. So I guess one thing is that Magic is a trading card game. And I guess sort of like, just from like playing this since I'm like young and that sort of thing, it's like just learning that sort of thing, I feel like going forward is like giving me a lot more appreciation of like how to like handle things like money in real life and that sort of thing, like understand how to use resources and stuff. And it also, like, I guess one of the main things is in games, like just concepts like being the controller, the aggressive, or like, you know, those sorts of things. Those things are good allegories for life. You know, sometimes you need to let things happen, sometimes you need to push opportunities and that sort of thing. And I think in a lot of ways like that, I think people can see there are a lot of sort of like subtle allegories like that you can like make between Magic and real life. And I guess one of the things, I guess I talked about it again when I made my first GP day too, is just you never give up. You know, if there's still a chance, you like take that chance and make the most of it.
Oh, I really like the knowing your role is an allegory for life. Like you are, you know, the first one to articulate that. And I love it because you're so right. Like that's so true. And I just love that about our game, that we're able to draw these things from, you know, magic and see them in other areas of our life. You know, some people talked about how they've learned, you know, how to travel, you know, because you have to travel. And so the whole process of, you know, getting tickets and lodging and going, all that. But this is really cool, knowing sometimes in life, you have to be proactive and push forward and, you know, be the aggressor, right? And make things happen. And other times you need to kind of, you know, step back and like the control player, just kind of see what's going on and figure out what's the best way to navigate through the situation. And that's so cool. I love that. I haven't thought of, you know, that aspect of magic applying to our lives. And it was an eye opener for me. So thank you so much about that. That's cool. Really cool. Turning the lens inward on you, James, what is the deepest thing you've learned about yourself from playing magic?
It's the sort of thing that if you put your mind to it, you can do it. You know, if you focus hard enough and just put in the work, you know, I mean, you might not get results immediately, but you can. It's the sort of thing you can do things if you try, that sort of thing.
That's awesome. I love it. Absolutely love it. And as a magic player, what are you working on? What are some of your shortcomings that you're looking to shore up?
I guess to me is the big one is I sometimes lose focus in games, particularly when they're just not towards something that's important. For example, like I play a regular draft of like an FNM or like playing a league on Magic Online, or it can sort of happen like you lose a match in like a big tournament and you don't feel like you can get a good result anymore. Like that sort of thing, I can just like lose focus and be like, to just not have the focus I really need in the games to play to my best.
And so what are you doing to work on that? Because that is something that we would like to get better at too, is, you know, maintaining that focus. So what are you doing? What have you heard? What are some things that you can share with us about maintaining focus in a game?
To me, I mean, I'd love to know the answer to that.
Okay.
Because that's been the big thing to me lately. But I guess to me, the way I try to do it is to, try to make them matter, I guess. Because like, example, losing a round in a GP and then not feeling like you can get a good result, but sort of saying, well, you know, just feeling like what you can work towards is still relevant and that it's still worth putting the focus in on, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And that's definitely a big deal too, you know, that focus in game. And yeah, so we're still cracking that code here as well. You know, we love diving into that topic every now and again with some of our guests and learning what can we do? And it's tough. It definitely is tough. I would love to figure out what is that magic flow state and, you know, how can we get into it? But yeah, it doesn't come easy for sure. So let's see, if you could go back in time and give yourself advice, let's say 5 years ago, what would you tell yourself?
Ooh.
Obviously knowing what you know now.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically to just like not give up, that I can do it. Besides that, and don't take Goblin Pike as highly.
I love it. Absolutely love it. James, what's your best format?
I don't really have a best format. I play basically pretty much all the formats. Like traditionally I've played mostly limited and draft, but I mean, recently I've played a lot more standard and modern. And I mean, I play a little bit of Legacy online. I have a cube and do that sort of thing. So I really just sort of like play all the magic offers, and it's really, I guess, what I'm best at is what I've sort of been preparing for at the given time.
Oh, nice. What are you preparing for right now? What are some of the events that you have coming up?
I'm basically waiting for the next set because it's the Pro Tour is really there. So
okay.
Yeah.
So that's your next event is the Pro Tour?
Yeah. My studies are important for like the meantime.
That's true. You got to do the whole life thing. Yeah, totally get it. So on the topic of limited, let's go with that. What advice would you give to a brand new limited player? You know, someone who they're new to Magic and they've been playing some limited. What's one thing a brand new limited player should focus on?
Firstly, they should watch tons and tons and tons of draft videos. Just like watching people who know what they're doing, drafting, just learning that sort of thing, learning which cards are good. And that's like the best way to learn for a new limited player, I think.
Awesome. That's really good. Watch tons of videos. Love it. Absolutely love it. And do you have any daily rituals or habits or something that you do on a regular basis that you feel sets you up for success as a Magic player?
Not really, no.
When you are watching magic videos, where do you go?
Channel Fireball, or I guess these days Twitch.
Okay, awesome. Those are good resources we can link to. Sweet. So Channel Fireball and Twitch are where you go to watch the videos. Awesome. That's really good. Anybody in particular? You just whatever. Just any video that's showing the draft format currently you consume.
I don't do that as much these days as I would have classically back in the day. But it's, I guess I look mostly towards people that are known for Limited. For example, if there's like a Ben Stark draft video, you should probably watch that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, good call. Got it. Yeah, so all right. So for new Limited players, that's one of the best ways to kind of get caught up. And then Channel Fireball and Twitch are where to go. And, you know, some of the known Limited players, well, you know, who can stand out, like Ben Stark, for example. But, you know, staying up to date and tuning in to people who know what they're doing as far as Limited goes is a great way to start. Absolutely love it. And we talked about where you'll be in the future. Basically, you have the Pro Tour coming up and your studies until then. So that's awesome. Way to go. We love cheering on past guests. And so we're super excited to see you, you know, go off and do great things. It's going to be awesome. To kind of wrap things up here at the end, Prodigies, I want to remind you that if you want to connect with James, we are going to be able to slide him into the Facebook group. So mtgprotutor.com/Facebook group. If you're not a member yet, you can join and then we'll get you in there. James will be there as well. You can say thanks for being on the show or follow up with any questions. So James, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new you want to do with us here at the end?
I might say something new. And I guess this is a big thing, I think, is especially when playing like GPs and GPs day twos and that sort of thing, is it's just don't be intimidated when you play against like well-known players or that sort of thing. You know, at the end of the day, they're just another Magic player. Maybe they're a little bit more skilled than you, but, you know, Magic is a game for skill and luck, and you can still get a little bit luckier and beat them. You know, it's just don't go in feeling defeatist. Like, you definitely have a chance to win some matches.
So true. James, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse. And thank you so much for your time, for sharing your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious. James, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. It's been awesome. Prodigies, you know where to find the show notes. It's mtgpro2.com/James Larson Scott. Just type in his name and you'll find a synopsis of everything that we talked about, as well as links to any resources that were mentioned. Before we close out, I want to remind you that this show is brought to you by the patrons and the Deck Building Masterclass. Patrons, thank you so much for your support. It helps keep the show going. And if you are interested in becoming a patron yourself, go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon to learn more about that. Also, if you haven't yet, check out the Deck Building Masterclass. There is a free PDF for everybody. Go to deckbuildingmasterclass.com to get that free PDF. And then if you are so inclined, there is a 4-hour video series that accompanies that PDF that really dives deep into AJ, Michael, and Matt's thought process. Bundled with those video series is the Limited Toolbox, which I'm making free all the way up until the Amonkhet pre-release. So there's some cool stuff going on and some neat resources to check out if you're serious about taking your game to the next level. Thank you so much for joining me today. I cannot wait to do it again with you next week. Get out there and play some Magic this weekend, whether it's FNM or some other event. And until next time, I am Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.